Hello and welcome to Charity Chat, the ACNC's podcast. My name is Matt Crichton and I'm from the education team here at the ACNC. And for this episode, I spoke with Prue Monument, the director of the compliance area here, about a recently released report which looks into the risks of money laundering and terrorist financing within the charity and not-for-profit sector in Australia. We hope you enjoyed the chat. And welcome to Prue Monument for your second appearance on the podcast.
Thanks, Matt. Happy to be back.
Now, the new report looks at risks of money laundering and terrorist financing in the not-for-profit and charity sector. And it's called a national risk assessment. Could you just start by giving us an overview of what a national risk assessment actually is?
Sure. Look, basically a risk assessment is an effort to look into an organisation or, in this case, an entire sector and figure out what risks it faces and try to estimate the threats, the vulnerabilities and the consequences of those risks.
Right.
In this case, as I mentioned, it was really an in-depth look at the risks faced by the not-for-profit sector across Australia. Of course, risk can be a very broad concept. There's so many different types of risks that can impact on the sector, whether it's health risks for workers and volunteers, risks to reputation, risks to sustainability of an organisation. But our national risk assessment looks specifically at the risks with money laundering and terrorism financing.
Right, okay. And just before we get into some of the findings of the report, can you just give us a little bit of an overview of how it all came about? Why did we need this for the not-for-profit and charity sector?
Sure. Look, I think that's a great question. And there's a few key reasons why we needed to do this piece of work. Obviously, the Australian government has a critical role to play in understanding and mitigating terrorism financing and money laundering risks in Australia. Australia's not-for-profit sector is significant and diverse, and it's not immune to these risks.
Right.
For example, Australian registered charities alone have total combined revenue over $142 billion. And it's the second largest employer in Australia. So it's significant.
Yeah, right.
Charities also send a lot of money overseas. Approximately $1.5 billion in donations and grants are sent overseas each year. And with this, we know that charities and not-for-profits often operate in a unique and challenging environment, and it can present greater risks of money laundering or terrorism financing. Many charities work in conflict zones or in regions where there's limited financial infrastructure, and that comes with a degree of increased risk.
Yeah.
Look, Australia's never completed a detailed risk assessment of Australia's not-for-profit sector before, and we really needed to do this to ensure we properly understood the risks and we can start to think about how we can better mitigate those risks.
So it's a really significant moment then, given that we haven't done this before and it has allowed us to look at the risks in detail and see what faces the charity sector.
Absolutely, it is significant and we've learned a great deal from the process. Look, going back to that question about why did we do this, Australia also has some really important international obligations that it needs to meet. Australia is a signatory to the Financial Action Task Force, which is an intergovernmental body that sets standards and promotes effective implementation of legal, regulatory and operational measures for combating money laundering, terrorist financing and other related threats to the integrity of international financial systems. So as part of Australia's commitment to those Financial Action Task Force recommendations, we need to ensure we adequately understand money laundering and terrorism financing risks in the not-for-profit sector.
Yeah, right. Okay. And that body, the Financial Action Task Force, or FATF, mm-hmm. is an international body that also has obligations for other countries as well, right?
Absolutely. There are many, many countries signatory to the Financial Action Task Force recommendation. Look, they have approximately 40 recommendations in total. Only one relates to not-for-profit sectors, and that's about understanding and mitigating money laundering and terrorism financing risks.
Right.
Look, I think one of the other key points that I'd like to make is that a reason for doing this risk assessment was really to also assist the sector. The better we understand the risks, and these are very serious risks, the better placed we are as the ACNC to educate and guide the sector and empower charities to protect themselves from misuse.
Yeah, right. So it's not just a removed assessment of the sector that comes out in a report and then nothing of it. It's also used to give back to the sector, give back knowledge, give back education to the sector to let them understand the risks involved in the work that they do.
Absolutely. And we published, we ensured that we had an unclassified version of the report so that we could share as much learning as possible with the sector. But we now also intend to build on our education and guidance and improve our outreach to the sector.
And what did the risk assessment find?
Look, the overall risk ratings for both terrorism financing and money laundering in Australia's not-for-profit sector was rated as medium. But
so I'll just jump in there. When you say medium, what's the scale? Does it just go low, medium, high, or is it more varied than that?
No, it is a low, medium, or high rating. Yep. And in a previous regional risk assessment, Australia's not-for-profit sector had been rated as a high risk of terrorism financing. So now that we've done this more detailed assessment and looked at the threats, the vulnerabilities and the consequences, it is actually considered to be at a medium risk level. We also found that the sector has really varied understanding of money laundering and terrorism financing risks. Yep. So we see that some charities understand the risks really well and have some very mature strategies in place to mitigate those risks, mm-hmm. whereas others in the sector perhaps don't understand the risks or don't see the risks as affecting the not-for-profit sector. We did run a survey. We opened a survey and invited charities and not-for-profits to respond. And something we found through that was that people working in charities didn't feel that this would happen in their charity, and that because they often know the people they work with, they don't see it as being a real issue.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case. Charities of all shapes and sizes can be vulnerable to misuse. Interestingly, what we did identify, and part of our international obligations to the Financial Action Task Force, is to try and establish what a higher risk not-for-profit organisation might look like. What we learnt is that in Australia, not-for-profit organisations that may be at a higher risk of terrorism financing are more likely to be illegal entities. So there was no evidence that sham not-for-profits are being established for the purposes of financing terrorist-related activities.
Oh, okay, so you mean they're an actual proper established organisation?
Yes, yeah, right. That's right. They're more likely to be an incorporated association, small in size with a low annual turnover.
Yep.
They tend to be service-oriented, and they tend to be linked to at least one large cash transaction and linked to at least one international transfer into or out of Australia, and linked to what we call a suspicious matter report.
Okay, a suspicious matter report. I think you might have to
explain that.
Yeah, help us out there.
Sure. Look, a suspicious matter report is a report that the banking sector, the finance sector in Australia, is required to provide to AUSTRAC, which is Australia's mm-hmm. financial intelligence unit, if they observe any suspicious transactions or suspicious behaviours through the banking process. They will lodge these suspicious matter reports to AUSTRAC. So that AUSTRAC can consider them and look into them where required. Right. We also found that the entities that were at higher risk of terrorism financing tended to have links to high-risk countries that may leave the charity more vulnerable.
Okay, right. And that may be that they work in those countries, or they've got regular donations or even one-off donations to those areas.
Absolutely, that's right. They could be working in those countries themselves, or they could be funding partners that are working in those regions. And when we talk about high-risk countries, it would tend to be those that are involved in conflicts or have very limited infrastructure. So that gives you a little bit of a picture about what a higher risk NPO may look like. And you know, that doesn't mean that those NPOs are always at a higher risk. Yeah. It can vary. But look, what also we also found through this risk assessment is that we have identified a number of not-for-profits and registered charities that may be vulnerable to terrorism financing or money laundering risks. And we now have that subset that we can focus some further attention on.
Okay.
And reach out to those organisations and ensure that they're doing the right thing.
Yep.
And support them to ensure they have adequate governance in place to protect their funds.
Yeah, right. Okay. And it sounds like a really big undertaking with lots of bits and pieces and moving parts to it. How did you go about finding out all the information you needed?
Yeah, look, it was a huge undertaking, and that's a really good question. There's really, you know, hundreds of thousands of not-for-profits in Australia. It's a lot of information and data for us to consider. Even just identifying the not-for-profit cohort that we wish to focus on was a real challenge. So I think it's really important to note that this was a collaboration. The ACNC alone wouldn't have the data required to be able to conduct an assessment of this depth.
Yeah, right.
We partnered with AUSTRAC, which is Australia's financial intelligence agency, to conduct the assessment. However, there were a number of government agencies that played a critical role in the Yep. assessment. We worked with the ATO, Australian Criminal Intelligence Commission, and the AFP. We relied on their expertise and data as well.
So it's lots of expertise and data coming from different angles to provide a holistic, more comprehensive view of the sector.
Absolutely. That's what we were aiming to achieve.
So we've got this research, which has become a rapport and an assessment on the risks faced by charities and not-for-profits in Australia. What does it all mean for charities? Are there any prescriptions for avoiding troubles that has come out of the report, or is there any recommendations or advice on what they can do?
Absolutely. And look, I think one of the key messages to get out there is that what we found through the risk assessment process is that charities and not-for-profits tend to be victims in this space.
Right.
So, you know, it's very rare that an entity is established for the purpose of funding terrorism or laundering money. But what we have seen is that there are genuine charities and not-for-profits that have been vulnerable to misuse because they haven't had adequate governance in place to protect themselves, their assets, and that's where these problems are occurring.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think the biggest lesson to learn out of the risk assessment is that these risks are real. Any charity of any size can be vulnerable to misuse, and so the charity's responsible persons, the directors of the charity, need to be mindful of these risks and put in place good governance.
You mentioned that one of the prevailing thoughts in charities considering these risks is that it's not going to happen to my charity. So is one of the things to sort of overcome that mindset and realise that it can happen to any charity?
Absolutely. It can happen to any charity. And that's why there's a few things that are really critical. I think that charities need to understand the risks in their operating environment. And that includes meaningful risk assessment, seeking expertise and advice where appropriate. You know, if you're funding projects overseas, if possible, visit the destination
Right.
you're sending funds to or managing the projects in.
Yep.
Good financial management practices are the key. I
Yep.
can't overstate that. Establishing formal processes for sending money overseas, using reputable institutions to send your money. Don't just send cash or transfer money into individuals' bank accounts. You also need to have strong authorization processes. Make sure that it's more than just one person in the
Right.
charity that's controlling the funds, and that, you know, two or more people have to sign off on
financial decisions.
Well,
yeah, you could imagine if it is just one person who's got responsibility for sending just lots of cash transferred into another individual's bank account overseas. You can see where the vulnerabilities lie.
Absolutely, that's right. Also, charities need to ensure that they undertake adequate due diligence, not only on their staff, but also partners that they engage with. So if charities are going to work through other organisations or work with partners, they need to do research on these partner organisations before sending money. When we talk about due diligence, I think it's important to note that it's an ongoing process. It's not just something that you set and then forget.
Right, okay, yep.
Okay, so you do your due diligence, your checks at the start, but it should also include audits, spot checks, ongoing reviews throughout the process so that you ensure that these partner organisations are spending the funds as you intended those funds to be spent. I think training and culture is also a really important risk mitigation strategy. So staff and volunteers should really understand the risks and know that these are real risks. And they need to be able to identify potential misuse and be very clear on and how they can report that. And this is where I think complaints handling and whistleblower protections are really important considerations. And I think something we always say at the ACNC, part of our mantra, is to keep records.
Yep.
Make sure that these processes are formalised and that you have adequate record keeping in place to document your decisions, your financial transactions, etc.
Yeah, it's a really good point with records. So if you've got projects in Australia or overseas, wherever, and you're sending money and you're funding activities, you should have information recorded that supports this or that shows what you're doing. You should be able to point to your records. If anyone was to ask or to look at proof of the projects and the activities you're doing, you should have the records to be able to show that.
Absolutely. And again, you know, the records are really important and it can demonstrate your decision making, your due diligence, but it has to be an ongoing process. You have to continue to review your risks, refresh your policies and procedures, and continue to check and audit partners.
Right. And so following this assessment and the report that we've now got, and you've just gone through a bunch of recommendations, which are really good for charities of all sizes, is there anything the ACNC will do in light of all of this?
Yes, there's a number of things that the ACNC is going to do following on from what we've learnt out of this risk assessment. We're going to be working with other government agencies to look at the high-risk cohorts that we identified in more detail. So the ACNC has set up a interagency working group. We're working closely with the AFP, the ATO, the Australian Criminal Intelligence Commission and AUSTRAC to ensure that we address those high-risk cohorts adequately. Also, we're going to review our outreach and guidance. We learnt a lot through this process, and I think we have a much better understanding of some of the vulnerabilities in the sector. And so we're going to look at how we can improve some of the tools and guidance that we make available to the sector to help charities better protect themselves.
Well, it sounds like this national risk assessment has come up with some great outcomes and recommendations for the charity sector, and also for the ACNC in knowing how best to look at these, as you describe them, high-risk cohorts and how best to help them protect themselves.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks very much for your time today, Prue. We always enjoy getting your insights into this area on the podcast, and no doubt we'll speak to you again soon on another fascinating topic.
Thanks, Matt.
Be sure to check out other episodes of ACNC Charity Chat and other resources, including guides, fact sheets and webinars, on our website at acnc.gov.au. And if you enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you happen to access it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.